Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Luke, the force is strong with you.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Bad guys of the galaxies, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke Bryan!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Hey! Welcome, everybody, to a live broadcast of the Dueling Tangents Show. I'm here in... I'm Brian. That's Luke over there. And I'm here in Waukesha on 540 AM, as well as... That's WAUK, as well as 101 FM, The Shaw. Luke's over there in the Solidarity Realty Studios in Madison. And you're hanging out, talking on WTTN 1580 AM, as well as 92.7 FM. That's Devil Radio. And you can check us out on the Devil Radio app, wherever fine apps are hunted, killed, and sold.
Stored in your phone. Yeah.
Exactly. And then you can call us anytime, 844-967-2789. We're going to have you use that to either call or text. In this hour, we're requesting your direct calls and texts for this hour.
Yeah, we want to get we want to take the pulse of the listening audience, Brian. So we're going to be opening up a question, but before we do that, we're also going to get to a number of headlines. We got an update on the Gable mess that is going on here in Wisconsin.
Oh, it's getting dumber by the moment. If you thought it couldn't get dumber,
just wait.
It is.
But Brian, happy Wednesday and happy June. It is
happy
June 1st, man.
June is Pride Month, y'all.
It is. And Pride Fest is coming back to Milwaukee this weekend after a two-year hiatus because of the COVID-19 pandemic. So at the Summerfest Festival Grounds this weekend, I believe starting tomorrow, Thursday through Saturday, we got Pride Fest returning to Milwaukee. So there will be a lot of fun and celebrating. Kicking off the celebration of Pride Month is Governor Evers today lifting the Pride flag above the Wisconsin State Capitol.
Yeah, I think that's awesome, and I think it's great to go and say hi, that you actually give a crap about the people that live in your community and the people that live around you.
And the people that you represent in government.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. A lot of people get upset about the sponsorship, like Pride is brought to you by T-Mobile and Absolut Vodka, you know, which is great that you have support corporately, but... for me, I look at that like, hey, it's so normalized, it's sponsored, which is great. You know what I mean? Not necessarily normalized. I don't like to put the term normalization, but I use that as a term without finding the right term for it.
Well, the corporatization.
That is the wrong term for it, so just let me tell you that. But
yeah, the corporatization of efforts like that, I mean, I feel like another good example is the pink that gets co-opted for the entire month of October for breast cancer awareness.
Yes.
And the corporatization around that, it shows that the cause has been pretty much put in the mainstream. When corporate America believes that it can use those things to sell more things, that's how you know that the cause is went mainstream.
I guess it means you've arrived, for lack of a better term. But the point I'm trying to get to is, as far as Pride Month goes, is that it wasn't brought to you by T-Mobile and Absolut Vodka. It was brought to you by drag queens, trans women throwing bricks, by lesbians and queer women taking care of gay men dying of AIDS in the face of an intentional government neglect.
Mm-hmm.
There is so much that you can't even fathom that people have gone through for being who they are, to the point of not believing that they should even exist, or that what they feel and think naturally is wrong from the moment they wake up to the moment they go to sleep. It's still happening now. And as fun and awesome as you should definitely go to Pride Fest, and you should have a blast. You should have a great time. But do not, and like we say every Memorial Day, like we say every Thanksgiving and every single Christmas and every, do not forget what it took to get here.
Yeah.
And I can't even begin to express it correctly. I even used the wrong stupid terminology on the way to get there because I'm just a cis white guy. I only know so much. But to go and explain it, I just got to remind everybody, literal blood, sweat, and tears.
Yes. Yes, and it's important. I mean, like you said, the celebrations are fun, and we hope everybody enjoys
the month of June.
But it's important to know the causes and the fight, the struggle that it took to get to the point where we are now, where we have a month to celebrate Pride, and that the community can feel accepted enough that corporate America and the acknowledgement of the state government and the bare necessities that the community should be able to receive is there, but there's still progress to be made as well.
Oh, is there?
And so it's a time for celebration, but it's also it's time to renew these fights and make sure that representation for the LGBTQ community does not go away, because there are some individuals that don't necessarily agree with the flag, the pride flag being hoisted up above the Wisconsin State Capitol today.
Uh-huh.
And we're not going to get all into that right now, because we got a pretty big show ahead of us, but we're taking your phone calls, 844-967-2789. But that's just something that we need to keep an eye on throughout this entire month of celebration and renewed fights.
Yeah. I'm going to continue to remember to bring that up myself over and over again, because, you know, it's an important thing to talk about. But the pulse that we need to go and take here, and with, I'm not going to transition cleverly here.
Now for something completely different. We got seriously. Monty Python to thank for it.
Yeah,
but.
Yeah seriously. I want to, and again, I will take your calls on any pride, any pride issue whatsoever at any time. Don't feel like you can't.
Yeah.
But the topic for the day is, which is your candidate? Which is your primary candidate, your Democratic primary candidate for Senate?
Well, because outside of just that, Brian, outside of Pride being here, here's the little bit of the segue that we could use. Outside of it being June 1st and the kickoff of Pride, June 1st is also the filing deadline for candidates to get on the ballot this for the fall primaries and fall general election. So we've got a number of candidates handing in their signatures across the state of Wisconsin, getting on the ballot for state assembly districts, state Senate districts. And I will let everybody know that process was really shortened. If you recall, the state Supreme Court had decided on maps. Those went before the U.S. Supreme Court. They were rejected by the U.S. Supreme Court, sent back to the state Supreme Court, and then new maps were chosen for those state legislative districts. But we also have filing deadlines for individuals on the ballot for state Senate, for Congress, for U.S. Senate, and for the governor, lieutenant governor, attorney general, and state treasurer and secretary of state. So numerous candidacies having their filing deadlines today for those ballots. And one of the things, the reason why I wanted to take the listening audience's pulse, Brian, today, is because yesterday on my drive home, I saw something that it didn't necessarily shock me, but I was a little surprised. I was surprised to see it, and it was a yard sign for a state or for a U.S. Senate candidate that I was not anticipating seeing yard signs for, and it was Stephen Olicara.
Yeah.
Yard sign on the Isthmus in Madison. I was driving home, leaving the near west side here at the Devil Radio the Solidarity Realty Studios for Devil Radio, and I was heading home, and I saw this, and then I also saw a Mandela for Wisconsin sign. I saw numerous yard signs on my drive home, and I wanted, because polling is interesting. You know, there's a method to the madness that they do over at the Marquette University Law School.
You gotta remember that the people who answer polls are the people who answer polls,
right?
You know, like how many people did they call and then not get an answer with? How many people do they call and they're like, oh geez, whatever, okay, bye? But that person may have an interesting point of view. Remember that people who answer polls are the people who want to answer polls.
Correct. And they're skewed to people that have landlines. I believe they're working on getting more cell phones in that as well.
That narrows it down to pretty much old people.
But Brian, I'm curious to know what the listening audience is supporting with these filing deadlines today. We know which candidates are going to be on the ballot for the most. In the most part, there might be some legal battles here or there, tossing out signatures. That's bound to happen because signature scrutiny has been a huge thing here in Wisconsin in the last couple cycles. So there may be some questions, but generally speaking, we know who's going to be in the gubernatorial primary for Republicans, and we know who's going to be in the Democratic primary for U.S. Senate. And I'd love to hear from the listening audience. This doesn't commit you to stone if you call in and let us know who you're supporting right now. But
yeah,
if you had to vote today, who would you be supporting? Because there's only a few weeks left, Brian, before this fall primary, and there's not a whole lot of polling going on. And so I want to get the listening audience's opinion. 844-967-2789. Who are you supporting in either the U.S. Senate primary for the Democrats or for the Republican primary for the governor's race?
And if you are of a different party, let's say you're primarily a Democrat supportive, tell us if you ended up having to choose between the Republicans for governor, who would it be? If you're, you know, traditionally a conservative, I want to know of the Democratic candidates against Ron Johnson, if that candidate were to win, which one of them would you like to see? This is something I'm interested in as well, because, you know, if you actually do care about politics enough, you'll at least be able to argue the other side, or at least go and say, oh, man, know enough about the other side to be able to go and, you know, talk about them, see if they're actually decent or not. Are you just demonizing all of them and calling them horrible anyway? Are they really all horrible? Who knows? What I do know is that Kevin Nicholson can walk through crowds very fast. But I don't see a lot of the people there, who would it be?
And if you've got a down ballot race that you're keeping an eye on, either a primary candidate that you like in that race or a general election candidate that you like in that race, let us know as well, because the down ballot races are going to have an effect. We've got new maps on the books for this cycle. And so we want to hear from the listening audience who you're supporting in these primaries here in August and who you believe will be going on to the November general election here in Wisconsin. Give us a call, 844-967-2789. This is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. And Brian, it's kind of a wild Wednesday of headlines as well. So we're going to, we work in the calls, we're going to also get to a number of other Wisconsin headlines going on here. As we alluded to, we got some Gableman, we got some state Supreme Court race updates for next spring already, the next election beyond the ones we're talking about as well. So there's a ton of time, ton of headlines to get to.
Yeah.
Give us a call, 844-967-2789.
You want to talk about pride? You want to talk about your pride in your candidate? Give us a call. But who are the people in your primary? In your primary? In your primary? Who are the people that you vote to lead?
Down the street, they're the people that you meet each day.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke. Over there's Brian. You're listening to us on Devil Radio 92.7 FM in Madison and the Shaw 101 FM WAUK 540 AM out of the Waukesha area. And Brian, we're talking, it's filing deadline day. It's June. Means a number of things here in the state of Wisconsin. We've got a couple of headlines that we want to dive into now.
Yeah. I'm playing Led Zeppelin because we're going to talk about the lead in just a minute here.
We are.
But whoever you, again, I'm interested in who you are supporting in the primary for, you know, senatorial candidate against Ron Johnson. I'm interested in knowing who you're supporting in the gubernatorial race against Tony Evers. I'm interested in knowing if you're from the opposite party, who you would tolerate from the other side. That's an interesting question, I think. But no matter who you decide to go after, who you decide to support, I would recommend maybe modeling what you do as a senator or as an elected after someone like, you know, Tammy Baldwin.
Yeah, she's got a lot of bipartisan support. You know, we don't. We do talk about it quite a bit over here, but a lot of people don't necessarily know that there were about 100,000 or more Baldwin Walker voters back in 2018. So Wisconsinites that voted for both Tammy Baldwin to send her to the U.S. Senate and at the same time voting to reelect former Governor Scott Walker for a third term. More than 100,000 of those voters here in the state of Wisconsin, Brian.
Uh-huh. She must be doing something right.
Yeah.
And here's something that she's been doing right as well. This I found is a piece I'm going to read really quickly. It's from Urban Milwaukee. It was posted yesterday or 2 days. Yeah, yesterday, and it is by Jeremy Janane. The Milwaukee Water Works, MWW, is receiving support from the federal government in its quest to ramp up its replacement of lead service lines and expand its diversity and expand and diversify its workforce. Yeah, the T and the F there make a completely different word. U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin joined city officials Tuesday afternoon to announce a $2 million grant at the Department of Public Works Field Operations Facility. Here's a quote. One of our top priorities right now is to recruit people to careers in the water sector. And as part of that, we're focused on building a workforce that reflects the diversity of Milwaukee. This $2 million grant and the partnership with Employ Milwaukee will help us address these challenges. The funding that Senator Baldwin secured will go directly to recruiting and developing individuals for careers in the water sector. I would say this is not a Republican or Democratic issue. I would say it's just an issue. And who's there with an actual solution and trying to find the funding for this? It's Senator Tammy Baldwin while Ron Johnson's running around talking about blah, 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 blah.
Whatever foot in his mouth story is going on that day or that particular hour, because last week, I believe there was more than one per day.
So essentially what they're doing is they are bringing there's infrastructure that we need to get taken care of. Right now, they're on. If they do it now, the pace that they are going at, they will replace the lead lateral problem in 70 years. That is unacceptable. A lot of that is the money to do it is there, but maybe the crews aren't there. Maybe there's not enough people in the workforce to be able to get this stuff done. And this is an idea that I had back in 2018. It's not like it's an amazing idea, like so brilliant that nobody else could have thought of it. But my point is that. they're taking weight. People in the community that is directly affected, that is also a community that has been disinvested in, and they're taking kids from that community, and they're teaching them how to fix literally their own community.
The trade, they're giving them the tools and the trade knowledge to be able to go and replace the lead pipes that are afflicting the community.
Now, you know, I don't want to get too far into the depths of the lead poisoning issue, but it is huge.
It is.
And the fact that it causes, mental defects, and then there's all these problems with kids doing a bunch of stupid things all around the city from the exact areas that the lead is, really affecting their water. I don't know. Maybe there's a correlation. We'll never know until we just get the lead out and see how the outcomes are different. But my goodness. This is something that needs to be done, and here's Tammy Baldwin right in the middle. And here's a statement from Tammy Baldwin. We all know infrastructure doesn't rebuild itself. We need more trained and skilled workers to do it, and that is why I work to deliver federal funding for this partnership between Employ Milwaukee and Milwaukee Water Works. This federal investment, which is also signed into law by the president, will provide employment and job training services for low-income and underrepresented job seekers. It will strengthen the workforce of pipe fitters, plumbers, and water utility professionals, and it will improve the career outcomes for workers in Milwaukee. Huh.
Yeah. It's an excellent program being heralded by Wisconsin's one U.S. senator. We got one that's working for us. Because as far as I can tell, the other person that we have representing us in the U.S. Senate, Brian, he's getting reimbursed for travel from his family's vacation home down in Florida to D.C.,
That's good.
That's good.
That's definitely necessary.
That's good. That's one of those stories at the end of last week that, dropped right before going into a holiday weekend. So we, again, haven't got to talk about that whole lot, but maybe we'll do a little bit more.
I wonder if he supports getting the lead out or if he just thinks it's just another socialist giveaway.
Maybe. We got Matt from Mount Horeb texting in, Brian. Matt says, and this goes to our question, asking who people are supporting in the primaries this fall with today's filing deadline. Matt from Mount Horeb says, my personal favorite candidate is Tom Nelson, but the best candidate is whoever is going to send Ron something else packing. Barnes is that candidate, hands down. When the black population in this state is motivated to get out and vote, Democrats win, period. So that's what Matt from Mount Horeb has to say. His personal candidate, his personal pick is Tom Nelson, but he believes the candidate best suited to send Ron Johnson packing, spend a little bit more time even at that Florida vacation home, is current Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes.
I just want to remember and remind everybody that maybe it's the person that, you know, maybe fixes the things that are happening around them directly and not just promises them, that might be the person that they go after. Or at least for the black community, at least that's what I've seen before. But again, it's true. It'd be amazing if we actually followed through on all the things we promised for these people that actually are the backbone of the Democratic Party.
Folks, this is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke, that's Brian. Taking your phone calls, who are you supporting in this fall's primary? For governor or for U.S. Senate? Give us a call, 844-967-2789.
My favorite part of this video is when he's got the nylons over his head, and he sticks his tongue out and does the. That's my favorite part of this video. Perry Farrell is in a, like he's like in a nylons over his head type of thing, where his face is messed up. Oh, it's great. Either way, this is Ben Caught Stealing, and that's why we're going to talk about Michael Gableman, who is a thief. But we're going to tell you that we are. Broadcasting.
Dueling Tangents.
Dueling Tangents. Luke and Brian. I'm Brian. That's Luke over there. He's in the Solidarity Realty Studios over in Madison. Madison is 1580 AM. That's WTTN as well as one. I don't know. You're
92.7 FM Devil Radio.
I'm fast. Too fast for my own mouth.
It's a Wednesday that feels like a Tuesday. That is, yeah. It's a short week because of the holiday.
And we're all living in collective fear, so that's good. That's good. Yeah, whether you want to or not, you probably are.
Or just the collective, you know, lunacy of one madman that's just going to continue on his rambles. But as well as listening to us in Madison on Devil Radio, you're listening to us on The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM. Brian's holding down the fort in the Waukesha studios. And we tend to go on some tangents. But
we can't even get out of our own way to get to this going.
Sometimes we can't, but that's okay. But you could give us a call, 844-967-2789. We're asking you to share your picks on today's filing deadline for who you're supporting in either the Republican gubernatorial primary or the U.S. Senate primary for Democrats. Or if you would like to share, you could share who you would support of the opposite party that you normally typically support.
I'm interested in that.
It is. It's an interesting question, Brian. And
if you haven't asked yourself that, maybe we're not thinking the right way about politics.
You're always a thoughtful guy, and you bring those head-scratching questions, Brian, and I always appreciate that. But let's jump back to the Wisconsin headlines, because we got a pretty big one going on here in the state of Wisconsin today, Brian, with a... there's an
so stupid
some invoices that came to light through Wisconsin open records law. Again, Wisconsin once was a beacon for transparent government, just good government in general. Fighting Bob La Follette had a lot to do with that. We had it for just over a century, and now in Wisconsin, Republicans are kind of making a mockery of that, but we still do have the open records laws on the books, and despite the fact that they're trying to thwart them in numerous court cases, open records have shown invoices for the Michael Gableman probe, because I will not use the I word to describe it anymore, Brian. I refuse.
They're not even investigating anything.
I don't even want to hear it. It is referred to as the I word.
Investigate. That you can't.
It's not what he's doing. It does not describe what Michael Gableman, the work Michael Gableman is doing, is not described by that word one bit.
You know that me saying it is actually more work than he has put towards this investigation, period, right?
Well, I would say no work has been put towards the investigation.
That's why I said me saying it.
Nonetheless, these invoices, Brian, have showed almost $900,000 has been billed by the Michael Gableman probe.
Seems like it's $220,000 more than originally budgeted 1 year ago.
Yeah. Again, and they...
1 year ago.
They gave him the $676,000.
That was his budget.
Expectation that he was going to use that from June to October, Brian. October of last year.
That was wasteful spending.
It was supposed to wrap up, and then it got delayed. The deadline got pushed back from October to December to February to April to indefinitely now. There's an
now
indefinite...
Now it's suspended, but he's still getting paid.
Right. He did take a salary cut, but he's still getting $5,500 a month as these lawsuits work their way through. And Robin Voss pretty much wrote the blank check saying, hey, this could go on well into 2023. So get used to Michael Gableman being on the state payroll and these lawsuits being followed. And they're blaming the obstruction.
You know why these lawsuits are happening? It's because he's incompetent and the people who gave him power are also incompetent. Because what were we saying at the beginning of this probe a year ago? I believe we were asking for what is the mission statement?
Mm-hmm.
What is the authority of this probe? What can we define what is going on here? And they did not and could not. So they don't have any means to actually hold Gableman accountable. But likewise, they don't really have any means for Gableman to hold anybody else accountable because he doesn't have any clear established authority. Do you know why? Because the Republicans in the legislature, as well as Michael Gableman, are completely and totally incompetent on purpose.
Well, yeah, they're doing it. Brian, they consistently have no set goals, so they can move the goalposts regardless. They don't care what the actual goal is. They want the obscurity. They want the confusion. They want the chaos. That is what they're seeking with the Gableman probe. They have no interest in finding widespread voter fraud. They sent their strongest watchdog. They sent out the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, the attack dog that they use on every single grievance that they have.
Every stupid, frivolous lawsuit about, you know, somebody's, you know, kid or somebody trying to, you know, be themselves and they're fighting against it.
Just even local government saying,
stupid
leave
mask
it up to
mandates,
local control.
Things about LGBTQ community, trying to be gender pronouns. Everything stupid that the Republicans want to fight over,
PFAS,
that's
chemicals.
What Will is doing.
Yes, Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty goes after every single one of those ones that they think they can win. And the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty did a review of the 2020 election, Brian, and no widespread voter fraud was found. Their strongest attack dog could not find anything. And so now they just want to muddy the water, and that is the only reason why Gableman is continuing to be paid by the Assembly Republicans. The state of Wisconsin is picking up the payroll for Gableman and his probe to the tune of just shy of $900,000. We're going to hit a million because he's still paying attorney's fees to go on these, to cover the lawsuits that are trying to find out. We have to wait, Brian, while Wisconsin judges verify what authority Gableman has through this probe. But there was nothing written. There was no, we're getting very little documents at all.
They have no control over their own contractors. That's how powerful the Republican legislature
Boss's
is.
Boss's attorneys say, hey, I can't control Michael Gableman.
Dude,
I can't
they can't even
turn
spell
over things.
Robin Voss correctly.
No, they put, it was V-O-S-S apostrophe S in one of the emails. I did get a
how
chuckle
How stupid
out of that
do
one.
You have to be to not know your own speaker's last name? It's three frickin' letters. Like,
and when it's
just,
possessive, I think you only use an apostrophe. I don't think you
I don't care. My
S.
point is that you're just, you like, a Supreme Court justice, a former Supreme Court justice, you would think, would have the competence to be able to not so blatantly set himself up for stupid lawsuits. But yet, in fact, these lawsuits are so blatantly, obviously stupid and overreaching that one might think that he was doing it on purpose so that he would have something to fight against. Because there's nothing for him to find.
If there was actually any voter fraud there.
Because he's an incompetent loser, and that's what incompetent losers do when they can't actually come up with anything else. They blame everybody else.
Right. If there was actually any widespread voter fraud, Brian, the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty would be all over it and suing to kingdom come. Like, that is what would be happening if there was widespread voter fraud. There's not. Michael Gableman is a joke, and it's a charade, and it's going to continue on, and Wisconsin taxpayers are just going to keep getting footed the bill for this because almost nine, like, I thought $676,000 was a lot to allocate.
Way too much in the first place.
Yeah, it was way too much money to be allocated for such an outrageous review. And even if you believe that this needs to happen, it has got to be so frustrating if you're a conservative in the state of Wisconsin to see that this is how it's being handled, because it very much is just going to the track record, Brian, that Republicans in the state legislature want one thing, and they want to be able to send state dollars to their private little cronies, because Michael Gableman, Foxconn, things like that, like, Wisconsin Republicans do not have a good track record over the last 5 years for being able to say that they're good stewards of Wisconsin taxpayer funds.
Not even a little bit.
Not even a little bit. And they're holding the $3.8 billion dollars of surplus that the state currently has. They're holding it hostage on the gamble that they might get somebody in the governor's office after this next election this fall that will just help them cut taxes for their donors one more time. That's what they want to use that $3.8 billion in surplus for. They don't want to help provide relief. They want to complain about rising prices, blame it on people that they have no correlation with saying that it's their fault. If you really believe that Biden is the cause for inflation or Evers is the cause for inflation, can you tell me why the Eurozone just had a record-setting, 40-50-year record-setting 8.1% inflation hike? Is that Biden's fault? Is that Evers' fault? Or are corporations around this world just strangling everyday citizens like you and I?
Well, when there's only three or four people that can provide the said any given product, well, yeah. Let's go back to Gableman real quick here, because there is some.
I went
some
on a little bit of a tangent there. I apologize.
No. I got you. I got you, dude. I know, and we know, and it's.
Folks, if you did not know, this is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke. That's Brian, and we tend to go on tangents sometimes.
Yeah, give us a call 844-967-2789. The overarching tangent today is: give us your pride story. Also, let us know who you're supporting in the Democratic primary for Senate, as well as the Republican primary for the governor, and if you would possibly
have to choose,
vote for somebody on the opposite party, who would you vote for? But let me give you this real quick positive note in the Gableman.
Yeah, let's hear it. Let's hear it.
From this is reading from the Journal Sentinel, further down in the article. From July to April, Gableman was paid a monthly salary of $11,000. Voss and May paused the election review and cut Gableman's salary in half to $5,500 a month. F you for thinking that that's okay, that someone gets paid that much to do this. Even $5,500 a month, half of that, $11,000 a month to do this, go F
insane.
Yourself.
Insane.
Go F yourself. That is over $100,000 a year to do nothing.
That is the going rate that Voss has to pay the private attorneys to draw up his gerrymandered map. So he just assumed that was the going rate for any attorney that he needed to pay.
If you're a blue collar person who thinks the election was stolen, not only is this fat piece of crap that doesn't even have a callus on his hands besides the one he uses to stroke himself and his friends, that POS is sitting there making a mockery of you. Not even investigating the election that you thought was stolen, and also getting paid probably double, maybe triple what you get every month. So congratulations for supporting that. In any case, let me read on here. Here's the good news.
Here's the good news.
In December, Gableman addressed the Chippewa County Republican Party and later had the state pay him $234 to cover his travel expenses. By the way, I've seen the travel expenses log. It's ridiculous.
It's terrible.
And it's stupid. As well,
an eighth grader could do better.
An eighth grader could check the math on that. Yeah. Is my point.
Yeah, the mileage.
Voss afterwards said Gableman should not have been reimbursed for attending a political event, and in April, Gableman's paycheck was reduced by $234.
Oh,
record
thank
show.
Thank goodness.
That's so good.
That's so good.
Great person that guy.
Did
is.
He get? Do we know? Did he get deducted off of his paycheck as well to recuperate the funds that were reimbursed for his trip out to Arizona to audit the Cyber Ninja?
I think he's suffered enough. I think he's learned his lesson, right? I think he's learned his lesson that abject and total fraud really shouldn't be allowed.
The Journal Sentinel had to put that in there, though, because Gableman would have like brought that as like, oh, they're slandering me. They didn't bring out the fact that I had this
I paid back the one time I fraudulently submitted a travel request.
Yeah.
How do you not know that, you corrupt SOB? He's either incompetent or he's corrupt. Could it be both? I think it is.
My money's on both, Brian. I'm going to say it's probably both because it just seems the most likely that he's both corrupt and incompetent.
If you have yourself a blue-collar Republican friend and they think the election was stolen, why don't you ask them what they think of this piece of crap loser? This sweating turd that is doing nothing with their money and peeing on their results. He's not doing anything to actually prove any fraud. He's not doing anything to actually advance what you think is your agenda. So maybe we should approach our Republican friends that way. Because if they believe in the election fraud, this guy is doing nothing to help it out. You want to blame Democrats all you want. He should be probably better than that if he's that competent.
Right. If there was actually any there, I believe if he was competent, he would have found it by now.
But again, is your narrative that Biden is stupid or that he controls everything in the world?
I don't know. Somewhere.
Is Evers stupid and incompetent? Or does he control the entire state at his will? I don't know. But if you thought about it, you'd realize how stupid that thought is.
It's a really difficult argument to make at the same time. Folks, this is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. We got one more segment left in the day. We'll be right back.
Gableman's a thief. Gableman's a thief. Gableman's a thief.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke. That over there is Brian. You're listening to us on Devil Radio 92.7 FM in Madison and 101 FM The Shaw in Waukesha. You can join the conversation 844-967-2789. And Brian, we got our friend Doc texting in with the overarching theme today of it's filing day. It's filing deadline day in Wisconsin. Curious to know who our listeners are supporting in this fall's primaries and general election if they had to choose a candidate of the opposite party or who they're supporting in their own party's primaries. We got Doc texting in saying he does like Sarah. She comes with enough person and referencing current state treasurer Sarah Godlewski, I believe.
Yeah.
She comes with enough personal money to not be intimidated in the millionaires club that is the U.S. Senate. She has government experience. She is a reliable progressive. She doesn't seem to be off-putting in any way. That's our friend Doc texting in his support for Sarah Godlewski, state treasurer, to be the Democratic nominee for U.S. Senate to go up against current incumbent Ron Johnson.
Yeah, she's one of those candidates that if you get her in front of a microphone, it's over. She's got the it factor, and every person I have heard after she has gone out, I've heard several people who did not know her going into a speech and then left going, I don't know what she's running for, I will vote for her. She made people care about the treasurer's office. That is hard to do.
Yeah.
It's hard to have people be passionate about keeping the treasurer's office because the Republican candidate who's running for treasurer wanted to eliminate the position he was running for.
Right.
But
he wanted to support the fact that he would have taken over the position, allowed it to be removed, and then be rewarded somehow by the conservative club that is the Wisconsin politics. So either over at Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, I would assume, or some other think tank advocacy group, whatever, be rewarded for eliminating that state position. My big thing, Brian, is, as everybody knows, I believe, you know, we shouldn't have a ton of octogenarian and septuagenarians representing us in the U.S. Senate. The flip side of that coin, Brian, is that we could use more young parents in the U.S. Senate. I believe mm-hmm. that is a demographic that is not represented well in our elected government, especially in the U.S. Senate.
Well, generally, if you have kids that are older, you reference the time when your kids were young, when you're trying to think about things like that, and the world has changed in that time frame. So having actual active parents in the Senate might be a good thing.
Brian, there were U.S. senators that were unaware that there was a baby formula shortage going on, because it's not a problem that if you're 60, 70, 80 years old, that you're necessarily on the front of your mind. But our
there
state
are senators
treasurer,
who are questioning how the female body works at this point still.
Yeah,
so
exactly. So there's a lot of work.
Pretend like
a lot of work to be done on that front.
It might be the most deliberative body. It doesn't mean that they're all super smart.
Sometimes they're just deliberating over what soup to eat that day, because that's what a lot of octogenarians. I love octogenarians. Don't have a problem with them. Just enjoy your retirement.
She was angry that day, my friends.
Enjoy the soup of the day out of the U.S.
Like an old man returning soup at a deli. So
I'm just saying, Sarah Godlewski, current state treasurer and candidate for U.S. Senate, is a young mom. And I believe more young moms would be having them elected to bodies of government, including the U.S. Senate, would be better for the country. So that would be one of my pros for the Godlewski campaign.
All right. Last segment here to give your input. Text us or call us 844-967-2789. You let us know who are you backing for either the gubernatorial race or in the primaries for gubernatorial race from the Republican side or the Democratic senator side, which candidate are you backing in the primary? And who would you back if you had to vote for the other party? Huh. Interesting question. Have you thought about it? If you haven't, you're probably a partisan hack like the rest of us. But, you know, it'll be fun.
I know your choice, Brian. I know your choice would definitely be Rantham. I know you're a Rantham guy through and through. If you had to choose.
No. The guy couldn't take a joke, and he didn't like the way I sang in front of his stupid carols that were sung to nobody. They said it was for the constituents. I'm pretty sure they all felt heartwarmed with you being in the Capitol singing stupid carols to nobody, but maybe even a camera, and I don't even think you got any press on that one. So, yay, jackass. I stopped you from your stupid carols that did nothing for your constituents. You horrible, horrible person that wants to rescind the election that you yourself got elected in. Dumbass.
Well, he's not talking about the certification of the state assembly races. He's just talking about the you know, electoral votes to Congress. He doesn't contest his own ballot. Of course not. None of them do.
If all things were being equal, I might actually go with Becky Clayfish.
Yeah.
And the only reason why is, one, your parent thing. She has two daughters. Yes. They're really cool. I know Joel. He's a decent guy, despite his politics. I get along with him, and I know he actually gives a crap about his family. Like, he's not but the one thing that would stop me, and I couldn't do it, is her comments about gay marriage. That pretty much sealed the deal for me. When she said, "Can we marry dogs?" I was like, "Can you get out of my face or never talk again? Because you don't deserve to have an opinion when you say things like that."
Yeah,
but that's just me.
I would have to do more research on the environmental policies for each of the Republican candidates. That's where I would be stuck, because all things equal, I'd have to know where they come down on the environment.
Hopefully we'd like to have one. Let's go to two quick calls before we go. Let's go to Jeannie in Eau Claire. How you doing, Jeannie?
Hi, hanging in there. Yeah, well, God whiskey for me, because I've seen her, and she's really outspoken, and she says what's on her mind, and she really is working for the people, and she's a real common woman, and I think she'd do a great job. Look what she did to save that position. You know, the Republicans wanted to get rid of that position, and she went around, and she rallied, and she saved that position that she was in. So I guess she's ready to move up. And I'll tell you something, the last person that I would ever vote for is the Duchess of Foxconn. No way in God's green earth. The idiotic things that she does and says, we need somebody with a little more intelligence than her to be the governor of the state of Wisconsin. And that's my personal biased opinion. You guys have a great day, and thanks for the opportunity to speak out.
Absolutely, no problem. And note, I would say, the other ones are such ideologues that they will go with whatever they think no matter what. Becky's such a political animal. If you made it a political plea to her, I'm pretty sure she would at least move towards something sane if you put it to her in political sense that made sense to her. Hey, you could retain more power and maybe make people happy if you did this one thing. All right, Mark from the SAC, I got you real quick. Who do you got?
Yeah, Sarah Godlewski. I met her. She's brilliant. And the Republicans haven't produced anything in 11 years, not just 5 years. Scott Walker decimated the state of Wisconsin. He wrecked the budget so he could go up to the state employee unions. He gave up billions of dollars in economic benefits we could have received in this state.
Well, yeah, Mark,
personal purpose.
Right. He was running for president as soon as he won the recall election. He was running for president, and he left a lot of damage in his wake here in the state of Wisconsin for his political ambitions.
But at least he blew through all that money without even getting a single vote.
Nope. Dropped out 73 days. If only the Gableman investigation was like Walker's run for president.
Was it worth it?
Folks, this has been Dueling Tangents. We'll be back tomorrow at 2 p.m. Devil's Advocates are coming up next. What you want?